Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. For the first time in months, there's no football this weekend, Tony.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Shh, the Pro Bowl might hear you. The Pro Bowl is on.
See, there's no chance I'm going to consume even 30 seconds of that, but I would bet big money that you will peek in on the Pro Bowl at some point. I will not, but I'm betting you will.
I might, because it's going to be cold here this weekend and I can't play golf, but the only All-Star game, Mike, that I make an appointment for is baseball.
Of course.
I do.
Yes,
the
a whole lot.
Don't really interest me. They don't. Yeah. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Jim Harbaugh says he's done with the NFL. Phil Mickelson might be done with the PGA Tour, and Trae Young gets it done against your Suns. But we begin today with the Jacksonville Jaguars hiring Doug Peterson to be their head coach. Wilbon, let us cut to the chase. Is the bigger news who got the job or who didn't?
Yeah, Tony, I think that depends on your perspective, who you are, where you live, what's important to you. And so for me, I mean, I'm not going to argue against hiring Doug Peterson. Come on, he won a Super Bowl just a few years ago. So that's he has earned another job. So of other people who don't get that chance. But Tony, in my case, having known Byron Leftwich since he was about 12 years old, as you know, we've both followed his career because he grew up right here where we live.
Yep.
I was interested in seeing him get a job, and that one he seemed to be on deck for. And things can happen behind the scenes where you may not want certain working conditions, and you may say, you know, I know you people are ready to hire me, which would satisfy the news cycle, but maybe I don't want this. And I don't know the ins and outs of the Leftwich, you know, hiring possibilities. But I look at this, and there are 9 openings in the NFL when we started the, you know, the hot stove of the NFL season, which we're upon, and none of the people are African-American. None of them. And so I look at it, and I see an NFL in which I think there are owners who are defiant. I think there are many owners, if maybe half, who would happily hire and have hired before a black candidate and have no issue with it because their lives are not the lives of their granddaddies. But I think there are people in the NFL who are defiant, whose heels are dug in, and they're going to either show people they can do what they want, which is not being inclusive, or they'll stand firm with the frat. One of those two. And I mean that.
Yeah. So, first of all, I don't think it's a good job. I don't think the owner, Shad Khan, knows anything about hiring, which I think he's demonstrated. He's had a series of terrible hires, including Urban Meyer, one of the worst hires of all time. He's sticking with a GM, Trent Baalke, that nobody particularly likes.
Right.
Okay, and nobody thinks
all
is
true.
Any good.
All true.
To me, this is a job. He's owned the team for 10 years, Mike. One time, winning record, and in the playoffs, 9 times, at least 10 losses. So, I don't want this particular job. If you say to me, well, Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, I'll come back and say to you, maybe somewhere else, because I think Jacksonville's a sinkhole. And we both agree that Doug Peterson, who won the Super Bowl 4 years ago today, it's legit. What he did with Carson Wentz, who's never been any good after that. What he did with Nick Foles, winning a Super Bowl, who's never been any good after that. I mean, this guy, he got fired, Mike, because the owner didn't like him. Just like Brian Flores got fired in Miami because the owner didn't like him. Just like we saw Norv Turner get fired in Washington because the owner didn't like him. So I'm not going to stand in the way of Doug Peterson getting another job. But I will say this, that collectively, there's a tremendous problem here because, as you say, no black candidate has been hired yet. If you go line by line, you can defend a lot of the hires. But it's larger than that, which is why people bring class action suits.
Yeah. I will just mention this one thing, and I agree with everything you just said. North Turner got another chance, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the difference right there. That's it.
Byron Leftwich might see if someone else.
If he talked his way out of this because he believed exactly what you just said, he probably believes what you just said. But then, you know what? He could be sitting on deck. He could be sitting out there on deck with two bats swinging him and getting ready for his A-B. Never get it.
That's right.
So we have more details as to why Jim Harbaugh is not the new coach of the Minnesota Vikings. The Michigan coach told our friend Mitch Albom, quote, there wasn't an equal match of enthusiasm. And he added, quote, there was a pull to the NFL because I got that close to the Super Bowl. This was the time to try and return, and this is the last time, close quote. Tone, do you believe Jim Harbaugh when he says he's done chasing NFL jobs?
I believe that Jim Harbaugh believes he is done chasing NFL jobs right now, and that he will attack coaching Michigan with an enthusiasm that is unseen before in Western civilization. I believe that right now. I also believe, because he talked about the tug of the NFL and he talked about sort of the incompletion of not winning a Super Bowl, that those feelings will come back to him at some point, because we can't stop those sorts of feelings. When he says this was a one-time thing, I'm pretty sure he's saying that for right now, that this is a one-time thing. But again, Mike, let's say he wins a championship and a bunch of NFL teams come after him because he's 44-19-1. That's a tremendous record. Is he going to be able to turn them down again? I think it's got to be pointed out, and then I'll stop talking. He did an interview with the 49ers or with the Vikings last year or 2 years ago. He did it yesterday. Like, it's really, it was top of mind yesterday. So while I believe that he believes what he's saying right now, I think, you know, everybody, look at Nick Saban. He won a title at Michigan State, right?
Yeah.
LSU, rather. Won a title at LSU and then went to the pros. Well, it happens. It happens.
I don't see Jim Harbaugh having chased NFL jobs. He went to interview for one, right? And he probably thought he was a little bit more, I don't know, wanted there than it turns out he was after he got to Minnesota and listened to what was going on. And maybe they also didn't want to meet the price tag. So, yeah, I'm like you. I believe he believes today, I'm here. I'm a Michigan man today. And then, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now or even 4 years from now, circumstances could change and someone could come and say, we want you. We want you under the conditions that would satisfy you. And it's not chasing. You're just saying yes to an NFL job.
That's right.
Do I believe that Jim Harbaugh is 100% not going to be an NFL coach anymore? Hell no, I don't believe that. And it's okay if he believes that today.
I don't believe it either, Mike. I think he said what he said because he knows that Mel Tucker and Ryan Day and James Franklin
are going to go sit
in a recruit's house.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to say, you want to go play for that guy? He's not going to stay there. I understand that. We move on. Phil Mickelson told Golf Digest he might actually take a flyer on the Saudi Golf Tour because of what he called the, quote, obnoxious greed of the PGA Tour. Mickelson's terribly upset that golfers don't own their media rights, that the tour does. He thinks tour players are being cheated. Well, man, Phil's one of the greatest stars in golf. He's way ahead of everybody but Tiger in the last 25 years. Do these comments make you think players like Phil could take the guaranteed money and jump to this new league?
It's not the comments. The offer of the money is what makes me think they could take the money and jump. Just the money. No other influences. It doesn't matter who else is going to do it. If you're talking about, I mean, Ian Poulter, I think there was conversation about him and $30 million. Ian Poulter? $30 million.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's probably made something like that on tour his whole life, and now you can guarantee him that. He's probably only got 3 to 4 to 5 really good years possibly left, you know, before we get to the Champions Tour. So Phil, the same thing. Look, I've listened to Phil talk. I'm not going to say talk to him about it because I don't even understand. When Phil talks about rights and media rights, Phil talks at a level where clearly he has had counsel, he has studied it, he understands it to the nth degree. And then when he explains it, all I wound up doing was going, yeah, I get that. I understand where Phil's coming from. And so, Tony, yes, we see this all over the world where there are competing factors for talent, if you will, for intellectual property. And so do I think that they can they can jump. The money alone will make people jump.
Yeah. Phil could go, but he's not the Pied Piper. He's over 50 years old, and none of the young kids are going to follow him. Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, most of this tour is going to be outside the United States, and they're not worried if they don't get to play in any majors again because they played in a whole bunch of majors. And that happened once in tennis when Rod Laver turned pro, and being a pro in tennis was considered a terrible offense. They shut it down for those guys in the majors.
Yeah.
They had to let them back in when they went to the Open era. I mean, that's the way life is. Here, I think this is about leverage, Mike, and I'll take a couple of seconds on this. I think this is Phil saying to his fellow pros, we need to have leverage here. When I started at Newsday a long, long time ago, there was a vote for a union. And I asked the older guys, what do we want? And he said, we want to lose by 5 or 10 votes, make it close so that management will continue to give us exactly what we want. And we don't have to have a union. And that is leverage. And that's what Phil Mickelson is talking about. Because whether he goes or not, nobody's going to follow him. Dustin Johnson may go for money, but not to follow Phil. Let's take a break. Coming up, how will North Carolina fans say goodbye to Coach K tomorrow night?
And just how good is number one ranked Auburn? We're going to ask Jay Billis. Wow, college basketball, is that still being played? Is that still going on?
We don't know about that.
Huh?
That's why we talked about golf. Will okay. Rahm go? Will Rory go? Will Spieth go?
It's on the money.
Will JT go?
It's
I don't
on the
know.
Money.
I don't think so.
Money.
Well, but the PGA.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're a college basketball fan, let's be honest. We've let you down this season on this show. We haven't done hardly anything. But we plan to remedy that right now by welcoming back our great and beautifully bald friend from College Game Day, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. And Jay, we're going to start with this. You're in Chapel Hill for number 9 Duke in North Carolina. This is going to be Mike Krzyzewski's last appearance in the Dean Dome. Do you expect the Tar Heel fans to celebrate the occasion? And if you do, in what way?
I think they'll be very nice and respectful at the start, but that'll end quickly, and they'll go back to sort of the passion of the rivalry. But I think it'll hit everybody after the game's over, win or lose. Whether it's Roy Williams, Dean Smith, you name it, when you have an iconic coach like that, I always felt like playing in these games, Duke Carolina, was an honor. And win or lose at the end of the game, you know, you were either excited or disappointed, but you always felt like, you know what, that was an honor to play in that game. And it's an honor to be a part of this rivalry, no matter what your capacity. So I think there's a respect there. And truthfully, there's kind of a healthy dislike, which that fuels rivalries. That's a good thing. And, you know, the rivalries are the same for the participants, whether it's Auburn, Alabama, or Ohio State, Michigan. The thing that separates Duke Carolina is so many other people are interested in it and moved by it. And so it ratchets up the temperature, and you can't explain it. You can't explain to a freshman, here's how it's like jumping out of an airplane. You can talk about it all you want to. Until you do it, you have no idea what it feels like.
Yeah, Jay, it was an honor to sit and cover a great many of those games, even some of them with you on the floor, not at the table. But I want to get to another game of importance, or at least a team of importance. Auburn, number one, is playing at Georgia. I don't know that the game will tell us anything about Auburn since Georgia's not very good. But how good do you think the Tigers are right now?
National championship good. Auburn is legit. They not only have a great coach, like what Bruce Pearl has done there is truly remarkable. The 2019 Final Four, where they'd never been to one before, their first number one ranking, it's become a destination for great players. And they have two freaks on their team. Jabari Smith, I think, could very well be the number one pick in the draft. He is as smooth a jump shooter at 6'10 as you will ever see. And he's scratching the surface of how good he's going to be. And they have Walker Kessler, who transferred in from North Carolina. And he's one of the best big men in the country and the best shot blocker in the country. He just covers the rim up, as Alabama found out on Tuesday night. He blocked 8 shots and changed another 10 more. And Wendell Green Jr. is their 5'10 backup point guard. They start Zepp Jasper, who's an excellent on-ball defender. But Green changes the game when he gets in there with his speed, his creative passing, his ability to get in the lane. And he'll shoot from any logo on the floor. He's conscience-free. But they're an outstanding team. We just don't have, Tony and Mike, we don't have teams like Gonzaga and Baylor this year that were last year head and shoulders above the crowd. There's a group of about eight teams, you know, Purdue, Kentucky, Auburn, you know, the teams we're talking about that are title favorites, but they're not prohibitive favorites.
I love that phrase, conscience free. there's a lot of that going around. I'm glad you mentioned Baylor, which will be playing against number 10, Kansas. How is the Baylor team, if so, different from the team we saw win the championship last season?
They don't have player of the year candidates at every spot. Like last year, they had Jared Butler, who was a national player of the year candidate in offense and defense. He played both ways. Davion Mitchell was a national defensive player of the year. Maceo Teague was, you know, 6'8", long-armed, could really shoot it and drive it. And then Mark Vidal was a big, burly, incredible rebounder, defender. They don't have that this year, but when they're healthy, and they've not been healthy of late, they've had guys out, whether it's James Akinjo or L.J. Cryer, you name it, they've had a bunch of guys out. Jeremy Sohan, they're fundamentally sound freshmen. When they're all together, when they have their complete roster, they're 15-0. So they still defend really well. They're not as good as last year. They still score efficiently, just not as good as last year. But they're in that group of eight teams, when healthy, that can win the whole thing, and at least prohibitive favorites to win the whole thing. I mean, this is a year where a team could come from the second 10 and win it. That's possible, because all these teams that we're talking about can be beaten. Last year, I didn't think they could be beaten. If Baylor or Gonzaga didn't reach the Final Four, didn't reach the title game, you would have been shocked. This year, if anybody loses in the second round, Sweet 16, it wouldn't shock me.
We'll get you out of here on this. Thank you for mentioning Gonzaga, because it leads in. They are at BYU tomorrow night. Is the freshman, the number one recruit, Chet Holmgren, is he playing up to expectations, Jay?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's 7'3", and he's long-armed and super skilled. Like, he can grab a rebound and bring it up. He passes the ball really well. He can stretch in, knock down a three. Another guy who can block or change everything around the rim. He just doesn't look the part because he's ridiculously thin. But he's a Porzingis type of player, except I think he's a little more skilled at this stage of his development. Mike Schmitz has him ranked as the number one draft prospect, so going number one in the draft. I'm not sure that'll hold up for teams because of how good Paolo Banchero of Duke is and how good Jabari Smith of Auburn is. We'll see, but there's no question he's in the top three. But he's the real deal, and they've got a ton around him. You know, Drew Timmy, Julian Strother, they're ridiculous. Andrew Nembhard. They are ridiculously good. And offensively, they're like watching a European pro team with how they pass and cut, and they just get layup after layup. And it's not transition stuff. It's in the half court. So they're still really, really difficult to guard and a legitimate threat to win the whole thing.
Thank you so much, Jay. We've learned a lot today.
I'm excited about college basketball again after having Coach Billis on the show, Tony. This is good.
Good.
Thank you, guys.
You can catch more Jay on College Game Day tomorrow at 11 a.m. on ESPN. Let us take one last break, but still to come. Wilbon, what happened to the Suns' winning streak?
I don't know. Is it longer than the Knicks' latest winning streak? I'm just asking. And could the Clippers be without Kawhi Leonard all season after all? Yes. Yes, because to think anything else is naive and stupid.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 80th birthday, one day early to Roger Staubach. Staubach won the Heisman Trophy at Navy in 1963 when the service academies were still national powers. Cowboys drafted him as a future in 1964, and after serving in the Navy, Staubach joined Dallas in 1969. He started in four Super Bowls, winning two. Staubach famously threw a last-second 50-yard pass to Drew Pearson to beat the Vikings in a 1975 playoff game. And afterwards, Staubach explained he threw the pass and said a Hail Mary. Since then, any last-second pass to the end zone in a desperate attempt to tie or win the game has been called a Hail Mary.
What a great story, Tony. That's when he played with Pearson, Calvin Hill, Bob Hayes, Tony Dorsett at the end, Jethro Pugh, Randy White, Ed Tuttle Jones. That's when the Cowboys were America team. Like the first edition, before we get to Aikman and Irvin and Smith. They were great. America's team. In the last 25 years, not so much. Roger Staubach, man.
Happy anniversary, Tony Dungy. On this day 15 years ago, Dungy became the first black head coach to win the Super Bowl when his Indianapolis Colts defeated the Chicago Bears 29-17 in a rainy, sloppy game in Miami. The game started with a jolt of electricity when Devin Hester returned the opening kick for a score, but the Bears managed only 10 points after that. 2 years later, Mike Tomlin became the second black head coach to win the Super Bowl. Now he's the only black head coach in the league. Well, Bond, do you remember the Colts-Bears game? Prince was the halftime show. You love Prince.
Yeah, I love Prince. I love Devin Hester just as much. And that was electrifying, Tony. And even though the Bears lost that game to probably a better team in the great Peyton Manning, my memories are, you named them, Devin Hester and Prince.
Yeah. Happy trails to Kawhi Leonard coming back this season. Last night, after the Clippers had beaten the Lakers, Clippers coach Ty Lue conceded that Leonard, quote, is probably not going to come back, unquote, this season. Leonard tore his ACL in the playoffs last season, hasn't played since. The Clippers' other big star, Paul George, hasn't played since December 22nd because of an elbow injury. Lou said George will have an MRI in 3 weeks to see if his condition has improved. The Clippers are now 27-27. They're stuck in eighth in the Western Conference, a game and a half ahead of the Lakers, who have also been injury-plagued.
You know, Tony, Kawhi Leonard is a guy who takes his own time and understands the schedule he wants to apply to coming back from injuries. So the notion that he would come back this season, like after 8 months after a serious injury or seven or
No.
And it wasn't going to happen. And the Clippers are done. But, hey, T. Lou, what he's done with them without their two best players, it just underscores what a great coach he is.
Let's go to the big finish quickly if we could. All right. Trae Young had 43 as the Hawks ended the Suns' 11-game winning streak. Your thoughts?
The Suns are fine. Atlanta, which is making a move, is still in 10th. The East is so deep. They got to keep winning. Trae Young was great. Klay Thompson had 7 threes. Dubs beat the Kings. You impressed?
I root for him. He's had two very bad injuries. I root for him. The NBA All-Star reserves were named. Any snubs?
No. I mean, I'd like to see LaMelo Ball and DeJounte Murray's having a fine season on a bad Spurs team. No. You can put those guys on, but who are you taking off? No one deserves to be taken off the roster that exists. No snubs. Opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics were this morning, at least in the U.S. Your review?
It was big. It was colorful. It was well done, like every opening ceremony. It was lovely. Last one. Will the Nets lose their 7th in a row tonight in Utah? Number 7, huh?
No. Streak over.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. And now, here's SportsCenter. Let's get some of that golf money, Tony.
Been pouring here all day.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.